Okay, so let's check in with our man on the ground in Gaul. I speak of Adam Collins, who's already and raring to call the first test between Sri Lanka and Australia. And I think I've got him right now. Hello, Collo.
Good morning. Yes, it's we've had a torrential downpour already here this morning, but all is well here in Gaul. It's sun is shining. I'm looking out towards the fort from our commentary position on top of the pavilion. It's going to be fairly willing up here when it does rain, but we're ready to roll, as you say.
Let's chat some selection. So it's Mitch Swepson's given the green light. John Holland's finger's no good. Is that right?
Yep, that's the guts of it. I think if Holland was fit, he was a decent chance of playing, but Mitch Swepson gets an opportunity, and the comparison's to Shane Warne. Of course, he's a leg spinner, but back in 1992, Shane Warne got picked in Sri Lanka, having had two relatively modest test matches to start his career. He wins a test at Colombo, and kind of the rest is history. So they're hoping for Swepson to mimic that of sorts this week. He'll be bowling with Nathan Lyon, who, of course, played his debut test match here in 2011, took a five for it the first time of asking, and picked up Kumar Sangakkara with his first ball. So there's some good energy there around Nathan Lyon. A lot of nice stories written about his journey in the baggy green. It looks as though Travis Head will play as the last spot in the team. We were told last night that so long as his hamstring remains okay, he's done three fitness tests over the last 3 days. And, I mean, provided there's no change, he's going to play and Maxwell will miss out.
Yes, all the Maxi lovers just have to buy their time just a little bit longer, Collo.
Oh, I mean, and look, I'm front of the queue on that. I have been for a long time. It's only natural that when you work in cricket that, you know, you do have some you enjoy more than others, and Maxi's been one for me. So I was hoping we'd see him today, but I just don't think it's going to happen unless, that is, Travis Head wakes up or has a net this morning and feels a twinge, and then that might open the door to Maxwell. Remembering that Sri Lanka will play three frontline spinners, Australia playing two. Maxwell kind of makes it two and a half. So they're probably a better balanced team with Maxwell playing, but Travis Head's earned his incumbency over the last 6 months. Of course, he was the player of the Ashes series, and even though he underperformed in Pakistan, they see him as a long-term prospect, whereas Glenn Maxwell probably doesn't quite meet that criteria at this stage of his career.
Well, let's talk about the pitches, because there's this presumption that subcontinent wickets are a monolith, but they're not. They're pretty flat in Pakistan, and these, certainly here in Gaul, is expected to spin a lot more.
Yeah, so there will not be a blade of grass on the pitch here. I mean, Gaul's a different basket altogether. So this track always turns from day one. There's often three-day test matches here because of that. I mean, Mutai Muralitharan and took about 150 wickets here, to give some perspective on the way they prepare these surfaces for turn. They beat Australia here inside 3 days in 2016. They thumped Australia here, to be honest. Yeah. Even though Stark was very effective, Stark took 11 wickets in a losing team, getting the ball reversing. But it was all about Sri Lanka's spinners. So they're going in spin heavy with three front liners, and Australia, the aforementioned Lyon and Swepson.
Steve Smith's the only player in this lineup that scored 100 in Sri Lanka. Of course, not all of them have played in Sri Lanka. It's got to be a big series for Usman, though, isn't it? A lot of people thought that perhaps he'd drawn curtains on his test career, gets picked again against England, hasn't looked back, didn't have the happiest of outings, a couple of starts last time out, but he looks set on redemption.
Yeah, well, look, this was the epicentre of where Khawaja's troubles with spin manifested itself in the first half of his career, if you like. So in 2016, he was out twice in a day here to Dilwaran Pereira, and it was a bit of a sense of, well, Usman Khawaja, great in Australia, but on spinning conditions, no, not so much. The fact that he went and worked so hard on his sweep shot, especially, he mastered that at shield level, that's translated through to what he's been able to achieve both at Sydney and, of course, in Pakistan, where he batted magnificently. So, you know, I think that even though there was a time when he did have question marks in his capacity to play the moving ball the last time he was here, he's a very different cricketer now. And, I mean, only Joe Root and Johnny Bairstow have made more test runs than Khawaja this year, and he's only played four test matches. So it gives some sense of the form he's been in, averaging, I think, 120 in the four tests he's played. So, yeah, he should be good to go at number three, or actually in opening, I should say. He used to bat number three when they were here last time, but he's very much opening the batting now alongside David Warner.
Is it assumed that you need a sweep shot to survive against the spin of these pitches, do you think?
And probably a reverse sweep as well.
Yeah.
You probably need both now. The game's evolved. I'm not sure how much of the England-New Zealand series you've watched in the last few weeks, but the reverse sweep's played just as often as the sweep these days. So I wouldn't be surprised to see both sides deploying that from the get-go. It is a shot that requires a degree of risk, but it can change the field easily, and often there'll be four runs there if you make full contact. So I wouldn't expect that we'll see a player in either lineup who doesn't feel comfortable sweeping, and they'll need to on these surfaces. It's a good device to get out in front of the pitch of the ball or where the ball's pitching and control the controllables to a certain extent. Where Australia got in
thank
trouble
you, John
here
Buchanan.
Back in 2016. Yeah, I know, right? Sorry to use the cliche, but back in 2016, where they got in trouble was playing from the crease and getting beaten on the inside edge from the balls that weren't moving. So a lot of work's gone into that before the series, and we'll see how it plays out today.
Mendes, De Silva, Chandamal all made centuries in 2016. Where's Sri Lanka's strengths lie? Is it in the batting or is it more in the bowling, do you think?
Yeah, look, when the series was played here 6 years ago, we all thought that, well, Sri Lanka's batting looks a bit weak. They've actually been in runs recently. I mean, Angelo Matthews made two centuries in their most recent series. He's a champion of this team. He was captain the last time Australia were here. He's now 35 years of age and kind of the senior pro in the team. Kusal Mendes is an interesting character, isn't he? I mean, he looks fabulous against Australia in 2016. Never really kicked on with it, but in decent nick of late. They've got Patan Nasanka, who's been going well in the white ball stuff, made a century in the third one-day international. Dimuth Karunaratne, who was in the ICC Team of the Year in the last 2 years, he's been at the peak of his powers, the new Sri Lankan captain. And then with the ball, you've got Jeffrey van der Say. Here's a name for you. Quite a satisfying name to say. Jeffrey van der Say. He's going to make his test debut today as a leg spinner at age 32. Ramesh Mendes, who's been a bit of a revelation in the six test matches he's played. He picked up a couple of big bags here at Gaul against the Windies last year. And then they'll have Embel Denia, who was a real handful when England played at Gaul about 16, 17 months ago. So I think it'll be the finger spin of Mendes and Embel Denia and those experienced men like Karunaratne, Angelo Matthews and Kusal Mendes if he fires.
Yeah, I think they're a team on the up, Sri Lanka. I'm really curious to see how Marnus goes this series too. I mean, he was the number one test batter in the world. He lost that spot, but none of his 600s have been scored away from home. He probably had, by our expectations and his own standards, I guess you could say, a disappointing tour of Pakistan.
Yep, I think that's fair. He missed out in the first innings of the second and the third test. Made runs on a road in Rawalpindi, but they kind of amounted to nothing. Everybody made runs there. So I think that's reasonable that people want to see Marnus return to the number one spot in the world. Joe Root overtook him a couple of weeks ago. And if he's to do so in spin-friendly conditions, well, more power to him. But, yeah, I think it's reasonable to say there are some question marks on him against the moving ball, and that's fine. That's a good thing. He's relatively new in his test career. He had an extraordinary start. We all know what he's been able to achieve in familiar home conditions, but that's the whole idea of playing around the world, isn't it? To master the craft around the world, and as the number two player in the world, he's certainly got the skills for that.
Yeah, and one man who is good in all conditions is the captain, Pat Cummins. 197 test wickets. Only needs three more if he does, and his 42nd test will draw alongside the likes of Murali, Warney, Alan Donald and Malcolm Marshall. That's pretty elite company.
Yeah, I mean, to think going back all the way to Pat Cummins' test debut, Hashim Amla was his first test wicket. But yes, he'll be the 19th Australian to reach 200 test wickets at about 21 or something ridiculous. Remembering he was the man who broke open that test match at Lahore when we were there in March. It was Cummins in the first innings with Stark with reverse swing, and on the final afternoon taking 3 for 23 to bowl out Pakistan against expectations, I think, given what we'd seen through that series. So, if there was any, there are just no question marks around Cummins around the world. He's set and forget. There's a reason why he's the best bowler on the planet.
Yeah, indeed. Colo, thank you so much for your time. Very much looking forward to that. Now, if you love your cricket, you can listen to The First Ball. Just download the SEN app and then you can hear it live on the airways from 8 o'clock tonight. Thank you, mate. Looking forward to the call.
Thanks so much.
There he is, Adam Collins, live from Gaul. It's going to be a beauty. So Swepson's going to play. And you heard there the mail that, you know, barring unforeseen circumstances, Travis Head has passed his fitness test and will play. So if you were hoping Glenn Maxwell might get a run, we're going to have to wait a bit longer. Jules in the chair for Jimmy. We'll break him back with more.